Angela Dalton is with us from Auckland Council. She has a role for Māori oversight. It's been quite an incredible week, actually, Angela. I don't know if you've been able to sort of come to terms with the government directive regarding infill housing, but it did come as a bit of a surprise. And I'm sure that some councils, tier one councils, as they are referred to, will be having some issues with the directives coming out of Wellington. A multi-party approach, and now silencing the MIMBYs, the NIMBYs, not in my backyard stuff. Seemingly now you can whack up three-story houses on a property near you. We have discussed this with the Māori architectural commentators, whether or not that will result in more of our people being able to get into their own homes, but I guess that still awaits to be seen. There'd be some frustration in Auckland City Council at the directives from the big house?
Yes, Dale, there's frustration that Auckland Council wasn't consulted or had any part in the decision-making on that. We will put some feedback through. There's always unintended consequences. It sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? But all I can see, well, it depends where one lives, I guess. I just see more and more infill housing without the infrastructure to support it. And we end up with, you know, I see low-quality housing with lots of people packed in and nothing to support that. I think what the vision might be for the government is that they will be able to do more infill housing around the city centre, all of those nice places to live, where that's not going to be affordable housing by any stretch of the imagination. So there will be some unintended consequences from this cross-party decision to relax the resource consenting.
So the developers will move into Manurewa as well and, you know, conceivably put up three-story towering buildings overlooking your little backyard in the hood. Is that possible with this sort of directive from the government?
Yes, and you know they're doing it quite easily now, actually. Out here, I think this just opens it up for even more. And you're seeing it over where you live as well. Developers are snapping up these properties. I know that my father-in-law has one of the old quarter acres in Manurewa, and he's been approached, and they're going to be putting up some townhouses in there as well. I think that we'll see more and more of that. So there's, I just don't know where this is going to end up. We've been really careful to develop the unitary plan. Well, we weren't that really careful. It was quite rushed. And now what we're experiencing is changes to that plan continuing to come through. And we had a review of it a couple of weeks ago, and we could see what the unintended consequences were for houses that have been built now. No backyard, very small rooms, not a good place for people to really live and raise a family. So if we relax those rules even more, then those consequences continue. So there could be some good outcomes, there could be more housing, absolutely, but I think we need to be cognizant of what we have learnt through the unitary plan already.
Water everywhere, and for the first time in a long time, water restrictions are being lifted here in Tamaki Makaurau. We've been pretty good, haven't we, in the way that we have responded to water shortages. Now you can wash your car again, seemingly.
Look, Tamaki has been amazing, saving 20 billion litres of water since the restrictions started. And that's mostly just through people doing as they were asked to do. So I remember when we were in a lockdown last year and going through this drought situation and bringing in those restrictions. But yes, the dams are full, nearly, they're at 95%. Watercare have done a good job of bringing more water online, and I don't think we will need to access the Waikato any longer. We still need a water strategy, though, for going forward. So my questions when we discussed this item yesterday are, how do we know what the triggers are when we might be heading down that path again? We don't need another shock to all of a sudden be in water restrictions. So still work to be done on solutions, but an incredible job by Aucklanders, both residents and business, who all came to the party and did everything they needed to do. So yes, use the water, wash your car, water blast your house.
There is a Māori whakaaro, thank you, a Māori whakaaro for the asset recycling property disposal. Can you share with us how our people are intertwined with that, please?
There's one that was passed in particular this week, yesterday, in our committee meeting for the Op Council building in Papakura and a car park close by to that. And the idea of this is that as properties can be divested, then there can be an investment. So through Eke Panuku, if they work with the right people that want to develop, then we should get more housing, but there should be investment as well put back into areas like Papakura, who do need investment in the business area. In terms of consultation with Māori, I know Ngāti Tamaoho were really interested in having the conversations around what happened, and they were consulted at the time. Every time there is a divestment of land or building, council will consult with iwi on that.
Do they get first right of refusal?
I don't know about the first right of refusal on the council land, actually, Dale. I don't think it's a first right of refusal. It's they certainly have the first input into what are the possibilities that can be happening for Māori out of the council's decision to divest of an asset.